This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Tonight we're broadcasting live from the Ramada Hotel in Topeka, thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Look no further for your auto, home, and life insurance needs with three convenient Eck Agency locations in South Central Kansas. To save you, special thanks to John Eck and his team at Eck Agency. We'll be here once a month while the legislature's in session to bring you the latest coverage live from Topeka. Happy you joined us tonight here at your local, well, it's you know, local and remote liberal resistance headquarters. And trust me, we're in the belly of the beast here in Topeka. Laura Kelly's house is right down the street from us. Pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com. On Facebook and through social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to catch my carry-on commentaries. Those are 60-second features hosted by me. You can hear those Monday through Friday, three times a day, right here on KNSS. And if you want to know what it's like being a conservative in liberal Hollywood, tune in next Sunday. We'll have a legendary actor, Hercules himself, Kevin Sorbo, will be with us next Sunday. So speaking of legends, our House Speaker Dan Hawkins, sitting right next to me, he will be with us here in a few minutes to preview the upcoming 2025 legislative session, which begins tomorrow. Jenny Beth Martin, honorary chair of the Tea Party Patriots Action, will be with us to talk about the Laken Riley Act and why this legislation is so important. Local conservative Ben Davis will explain why he says Wichita Public Schools plan to raise taxes to spend $450 million on new and remodeled schools will not improve student achievement. And Michael Austin, Kansas economist, will walk us through the numbers that show the state's nearly $2 billion surplus is set to vanish by 2029. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. I want to bring you some context here for what I'm going to tell you, which is that I think, you know, bipartisanship is all well and good, but sometimes bipartisanship is overrated. For example, on August 10th, 1964, Congress passed by a vote of 416-0 in the House and 88-2 in the Senate, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. Some of us are old enough to remember that. I'm not, but there are those who are. It was a stunning show of bipartisanship, giving President Lyndon Johnson carte blanche to take the country into war in Vietnam. The war cost the nation about $900 billion, and it was a great show of bipartisanship, though. In November of 99, President Bill Clinton signed into law the Graham-Leach-Bailey Financial Services Act. It was a great piece of bipartisan legislation that led to Wall Street spending millions in lobbying to get passed. And in the end, this bipartisan regulation scheme ultimately brought down the nation's financial system. On June 7th of 2001, President George W. Bush signed into law the Economic Growth and Tax Relief Act. This bipartisan legislation quickly drained $1.6 trillion from the federal treasury and bestowed the biggest benefits on the wealthy Americans and corporations. It turns a budget surplus into a budget deficit. And of course, just a few years ago, in June of 2021, Democrats were able to reach an infrastructure agreement that had the backing of 11 Senate Republicans and Joe Biden, and the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure deal included $579 billion in new spending, which led to the worst recession in history. I share all of this with you as a way of saying bipartisanship is all well and good, but some of the worst policies in U.S. government history have really led to, though they're being bipartisan, it's led to some of the worst decisions in government history. We have tons of bad legislation that somehow is deemed good because someone determined that if you put the B word in front of it, it somehow becomes good legislation. So as Congress begins their work and the Kansas legislature returns tomorrow, there may be goals for bipartisanship, and that's all well and good. But they shouldn't sacrifice their principles to the altar of being bipartisan. In D.C., we have the House and the Senate and the White House. The last time Democrats held that trifecta, they crammed all kinds of liberal policies down America's throat. They pushed their agenda. They didn't care what the Republican minority wanted. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Trump's America's first agenda needs to be priority one for the next 2 years, and damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And here in Topeka, when they convene tomorrow morning, the Republican supermajorities need to press their advantage. Voters gave them the legislature for a reason. They need to use it. House and Senate leaders need to be bold, push back hard against Laura Kelly, and not be timid. We need tax relief, spending cuts, and a strong conservative agenda. And if legislative leaders take advantage of their majorities that the voters gave them, they'll be rewarded. If they don't, it'll be a waste of resources. It's fine to look for opportunities to work across the aisle and find common ground, but make no mistake, voters gave this legislature a clear mandate to lead in a conservative direction, and that's what we expect to happen. We'll take a quick break, and then local conservative activist Ben Davis will explain why he says Wichita Public Schools is going to spend $450 million on new schools, and it's really going to be a waste of your money. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by the EC Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by EC Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. It's a community of volunteers and millions of concerned citizens. If you're interested, you want to get involved and get activated in campaigns, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow and like the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, next month, USC 259, the Wichita School District, will ask Wichita taxpayers to vote yes to raise their property taxes by $450 million. As part of their facilities master plan. Many Wichita voters have questions about the master plan over the next few weeks. We will bring you guests from both sides of this issue, including the USD 259 superintendent, who will be with you next week. Tonight, we're joined by local conservative activist and owner of the Cato Consulting Group, Ben Davis, who is with a group who opposes the bond initiative. Ben, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's great to be here with you. Want to give a shout out to all the fellow ditto heads out there, as today is the great one, Rush Limbaugh's birthday. I think he would have been 74.
That's right. It is Rush Limbaugh's birthday. I forgot about that. Thank you. It's good remember of that. By the way, if folks are interested, You guys have a website, well, I'm sure we'll be referring to it, but it's votenobond.com. Your group has put together this. You've got a, I mean, I've been to the website. I kind of checked it out earlier today. Why do you oppose the school bond initiative?
That's a great question. We oppose it for several reasons. One of the primary ones, as you mentioned coming into this segment, is that it's a tax increase. They are being very disingenuous in how they are wording this. They're saying that it's not a tax increase, that this tax rate is staying the same at 7.5 mils. But John, if our taxes are set to go down, our property taxes, that is, are set to go down, which they are when this bond expires, and they somehow block that or prohibit that by putting this bond on us, then, and the majority of people vote for it, then that is by nature a tax increase. If they're set to go down, but yet it's been blocked in some way, then that's a tax increase. And it's only going to go up from there. Just because the mill levy rate stays the same doesn't mean your property taxes stay the same, because your valuations and it's absolutely. So, I mean, to ask anybody, you know, from the city or other local government, and they'll tell you, well, your mill levy stayed the same, but yet my tax bill has increased exponentially, over the last decade. So that's what's planned for the school, the Wichita School District. This is primarily a tax increase. But let me tell you this. I don't want people to get the wrong impression about this. It's not just about taxes, although that's a huge part of it. It's about the quality of education at USD 259. And the quality of education has only continued to go down over the last 10 or 20 years since we've given two additional bonds that's totaled well over $700 million. We have great teachers.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I saw that on your website. You point out that $710 million in bond money has been spent on buildings in recent years, and yet student test scores continue to decline. It sure seems to me that buildings aren't the issue here. It's performance. It's outcomes.
Absolutely. Our tagline is buildings are not the problem. Buildings are not the problem. Just take, for instance, Southeast High School. So the board, the largest line item of the 2008 bond, which we're currently paying off, which was about $370 million, something like that. The largest line item for that bond was Southeast High School, which was supposed to be $54 million and ended up costing $68 million. $68 million. Once it was built, it very quickly reached not only capacity, but went over capacity by several hundred students. All of a sudden, if your listeners remember, just 2 years ago, we were seeing stories on KWCH and KSN News about how overcrowded the school was, that students were being reported sitting on the floor of their bus to get to school. Violence started breaking out. There was one student that was beaten so mercilessly he had a brain bleed. And of course, they were talking about having to redraw boundaries and all of these different things. That is indicative of the much larger problem. They're saying that if we pass this $450 million bond, which of course won't raise taxes according to them, that it's going to solve all these problems and we're going to have all these great educational outcomes, and that's so necessary as we continue to shut down schools, six shut down just last year, and rebuild new ones in their place. Of course, those properties aren't being sold off. We're just sitting on them. And of course, there's really no legitimate
utilities and all the other maintenance and everything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's no legitimate evidence that these new buildings are somehow increasing student performance outcomes. If you look at the student performance outcomes of Southeast High School, going all the way back to 2014, and then after the new school was built, they've stayed exactly the same, if not gotten worse. Proficiency rates are in the single digits. Single digits. I find what's amazing in this discussion is that the school district keeps touting their plan to increase the graduation rate, yet the student scores, proficiency scores in math, science, and reading continue to be the same, if not go down, all in the single digits. So basically, we're graduating students who can't do basic math, who can't do basic reading. This is our next workforce here.
Right. You shouldn't be proud of your graduation rate if you're graduating folks that can't read and write.
Absolutely.
And then if they do go on to college, are going to need remedial education when they get there.
Absolutely. Let me be very clear. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, we're talking with Ben Davis from the Cato Consulting Group. One of the things I wanted, and I saw this on your website, I've actually heard this from other sources. But one of the issues that keeps coming up, as far as I've heard, is that a lot of this spending, you know, they keep talking about new schools, and it's $450 million, and we're going to have all this new technology, and it's the new wave of design, and there's going to be new features and all the amenities in the buildings. But the majority of teachers think that the district is on the wrong track. The money's not getting into the classroom, which is where, I mean, Mike, the whole point along this is, why are we building classrooms when the money needs to be actually in the classroom? We're not paying the teachers. We're not delivering outcomes. Who cares if you have a new building if you're not delivering the outcomes into the student where it matters?
That's exactly right. And there's a lot of research to say that introducing technology is really questionable in terms of the development right. of the student and the education. But the new school buildings are not going to do it. And there was a teacher survey that went out actually from the teachers union. It was in May of last year. They sent it out to 4,000 of their members. They had a 37% response rate, I believe, is like 1,400 people, which is a pretty good sample size. And in that, on the returns, over 60% of the teachers said the school district was on the wrong track. Over 80% of those who responded said that they were more than satisfied, if not happy, in the building that they were working in. And then you go into all the anonymous comments. Again, these are from teachers teaching in the school district. And the comments were saying things such as, you know, every student future ready is a myth. The school district is focused on the wrong things. We're having major behavioral issues in the classroom, and we're not getting the support we need. Those are the major changes that need to happen. We have amazing teachers in 259. And let me be very clear. This opposition campaign is for the bond. What we do support is a robust, strong public education system. What we do support are thriving teachers, teachers who are being heard, teachers who are getting the support and the encouragement they need to do a very difficult task and teaching the next generation and generations after them day in and day out. We depend on teachers just as we depend on first responders, firemen, policemen. These people are on the front lines doing really good work. And we have great teachers in 259. And this bond is not anything that's going to help them at all. This is something to try to boost, I guess, the morale of the administration to make them look better or feel better about themselves. It's not going to do anything for the teachers. And I really believe that the teachers of 259 see past this whole facade and see it for what it is. They need real support, real relief, and that's what the school district and the administration needs to be focused on, not raising everybody's taxes and selling us, you know, this snake oil here on saying that new buildings are going to be this panacea to solve all of our problems. The teachers of Wichita know that that's not the truth.
Well, Ben, I appreciate you. Again, we're going to have the superintendent on here next week, and we certainly will ask him some of these very questions. I'm going to ask him a lot of the information that you provided. If folks want more information, if they want to help you, if they want, obviously, mounting an opposition like this, we know the teachers union and some of the others, is certainly Kansas Association of School Boards, I'm sure, and I'm sure the developers who are behind this will be ponying up money for the Vote Yes initiative. I'm sure that if they want to donate, if they want information, they can visit votenobond.com, correct?
Yes, votenobond.com. We'll provide everything you need. You can contact us there. You can send us direct messaging. We even have a tax savings calculator if you want to use that. So you can calculate the estimate of your property or your commercial property, and it'll show you how much you're going to save on an annual basis if we end up defeating this bond. Look, 90% of school bonds pass because there's not an organized, well-messaged opposition. But when there is an organized, well-messaged opposition, they tend to defeat these school bonds. We can do this. I really believe in this opposition campaign. I know all of your listeners are going to rally support behind us. Go to the website, contact us, go host a neighborhood meeting, find out more about this thing, and let's get this thing defeated on February 25th.
Well, the key is to just remind people that it is, in fact, a tax increase. Again, it's votenobond.com. Ben, thank you again for joining us. It's a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you, John. Really appreciate it.
We'll take a quick break, and then House Speaker Dan Hawkins will be with us to preview the upcoming 2025 legislative session, which begins tomorrow. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Did you miss part of last week's John Whitmer Show? A little shame on you. But we've got you covered. We post clips from all our shows. We also post single hours, entire shows as one audio file, separate segments. Whatever you need, you can find it there. There's lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, it's that time of year. Sponsorships for the John Whitmer Show are now available. For more information, you can email Tony at knssradio.com. And speaking of sponsorships, I don't know how I segment. I'm going to segue out of this one, Dan. But one of my favorite future sponsors, there you go. See, now you're obligated. A dear friend of mine, someone who has been a supporter of every campaign I've ever tried to run. There you go. I see that's a mediocre segue at best. Our House Speaker, Dan Hawkins, is with us here as we're live in Topeka. The 2025 legislative session begins tomorrow. Speaker, Mr. Speaker, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, John. Nice to be here.
So, Dan, last week, the governor, once again, I'm sure you saw it, she celebrated the state taking more money, of our money, rather, tax revenue, than the state needs. The December 2024 tax collections surpassed the estimates by $66 million. $66.7 million. So that, and again, that's our money that she's taking. And she celebrated. That's a good thing in her eyes. What are you going to do about that? I mean, please tell me you've got a plan to give us some of our money back.
Well, we do. We're going to work on property tax relief. We campaigned on it all during the campaign season, and people responded to that message, and they want property tax relief. And so we're going to give property tax relief. So I'm looking forward to it. Probably be out fairly quickly. Met with our tax chair today, and he has a plan, and we'll get some a tax bill out there, and we'll get it across the rotunda and get it to the governor and watch her veto it, and then we'll overrun it.
I know Senator Masterson put out a statement recently. The Senate really wants to get really aggressive on property tax, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, it's a matter of what we can get from the standpoint of 84 and 27. So there'll be probably quite a few different plans proposed, and one will come to the top, and we'll get it done.
The other issue that has come up is the issue of spending. You guys have done a pretty good job. Every time she puts out a budget, you've put out a similar budget, but less spending than what the governor wants. This year's a little different, though. You've been working on your own budgets. Any idea what that's going to look like? I know you've spent a lot of work prior to session on a budget.
I can tell you right now that it's been cleaned out of all enhancements. There were over $1 billion worth of enhancements, supplemental requests, FTEs, salaries, wages, over $1 billion.
FTEs just are for full-time employees.
Full-time employees, full-time equivalents. And during our budget interim, made a motion to strike that $1 billion and give our budget chairs a chance to actually do their job. So if they would have had to cut it, that would have been pretty tough. But we cut it instead. I got big shoulders. I can take it. Let them yell at me. We cut it, and now they can go to work, and hopefully we can come out with a really flat budget.
You know, this is another situation, and you and I have talked about this before, but you're more than likely, she's going to veto that as well.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. I would expect her to probably set a record this year at vetoes, and we'll probably set a record at overrides. So,
and yet, this is not anything new. She's every session that you've been having to deal with, Laura, she's done the same thing. She sets records for vetoes, and you set records for overrides.
You know, actually, it's really kind of a shame that she is so far left. You know, she calls herself middle of the road, but she's in the left ditch. She's moving farther into the ditch. It's getting pretty snowy out there right now. Rather cold. And so I'm sure she's probably shivering a little bit, but we are ready to go to work and show the folks of Kansas exactly what we can do on budgets when we do our own. This will be the first year since 1957 that the legislature's done their own budget. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good, really a good practice that maybe we can actually change the culture here in Topeka and get to where we're producing budgets that are more reasonable than what our current governor has.
We're talking with Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. There's pivoting to some of the other issues. I know one of the things, and I receive your majority record, which is a great newsletter, by the way. I recommend everybody subscribe to it. But you brought up some of the other issues that may come up this session. One in particular, protecting minors from the irreversible harms of, quote-unquote, gender-affirming care. This is another bill you tried to run before, and middle of the road, Governor Kelly vetoed it.
Yeah, she did. And of course, we had two of our Republicans last year that supported the governor, and we weren't able to get it across the line and get it passed, which, quite frankly, most of our caucus was furious about.
They're not here anymore, though, as I remember. Well, one of them is.
One's still here, but the rest of them have gone by the wayside. So actually two of them are here. Sorry, there's actually two still here. But, you know, we picked up three in the off season in the election cycle. So I think that now I think one of them that voted against it probably won't make that mistake again. The other one, he votes with the Democrats all the time anyway, so it doesn't make any difference.
Well, since we're sitting in Topeka, I'm just going to say it's Mark Schreiber because I know who it is. He sat right in front of me for 4 years, so.
I never, ever mentioned names.
That's why I did it. I'm allowed to do that. I don't have to go serve with him in the morning.
Well, you know, I just don't think it's good for me to mention names, so I won't. I'm not going to confirm or deny that that's who it is. However, I do anticipate that we pass that in pretty fine fashion. And the governor will veto it again, and we will override her. And hopefully we get this overriding process started early in the session, and we just keep it rolling throughout the session. We could build up a lot of momentum doing that. So.
You're one of the other issues that I know has been one of the things that we've been trying to take. I mean, it's surprising that Kansas doesn't have a more robust form of school choice already, but it's something else that I know you want to try and tackle.
You know, school choice is one of the things that divides the Republican Party. The last time we did it, which was 23, I think we got 65 votes for school choice. This governor will always veto school choice. So unless
of course you gave her Medicaid expansion.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. So,
you know, which shows what a hypocrite she is. If you offered to give her Medicaid expansion, she'd probably sign school choice.
He has nothing I want.
Don't mince words, Dan. What do you really think?
Actually, that was proposed here a year ago, and that was my comment to the governor. You have nothing I want. So, and nothing's changed in that vein. I mean, we're still at the same point. Medicaid expansion is dead on arrival. And in fact, I do believe, since we're talking about Medicaid expansion, you know, thank God for Trump. And right at the top of Trump's list is moving Medicaid expansion, able-bodied adults, from a 90-10 match to FMAP, which would be about a 60-40 match.
Which is one of the things when they first tried rolling this out, you and I, we served together. We warned if the federal government ever backs off of that 90%, it's going to devastate the states that accepted that.
I have been saying that for 10 years, and finally it's going to come true. When it comes true, you just watch California, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and watch their budget holes. It's going to be phenomenal, the amount of money that they're going to have to come up with.
Yeah. We saw this coming. If he does that, if the federal government does that, because it's a massive weight that they're carrying, if they start passing that on to the states, oh, yeah, California, I mean, all those, well, and it's not only the blue states. You've had some, you know, Louisiana, some of these Republican states that accepted that money that are now going to be on the hook for a whole heck of a lot of federal money.
Absolutely. Indiana, the first red state to really jump in the ball, into that ball game. You know, they were $1 billion in the hole last year on Medicaid expansion. So just think about that, what that's going to do. I do think that we will, it will prove that we have been right all along, and the governor doesn't care. She doesn't mind if it put us in a hole. It'd bother her a bit. So that middle of the road, Laura Kelly, she literally can really damage this state beyond belief. I'm standing in the gap. I'm not going to let it happen. I'll never let it happen.
One other issue, I know there are a number of organizations that, you know, are our friends that, that ally with us on key issues. An issue that they're pushing is something to do along the lines of judicial selection. Kansas is one of the only state, well, the only state that has this archaic Missouri model where we let this, you know, highly selective, secretive process that doesn't allow any real transparency or democratic process. Do you think we might address that at some point?
Hey, John, I do think that there is an opportunity for us this year. Always before, this state and the Republicans have keyed in on the federal model. The federal model we never will get past. Finally, they've kind of wised up, and we're starting to see direct elections being talked about.
That's just about Democrats.
It is, and if we get the direct election model, I think actually we will hit 84 and more, 27 more. We'll get it to the folks, and the folks will hopefully see that that is the most democratic thing. So I actually think there's a really good possibility. We've done a lot of polling on it. The polling shows that it's a bipartisan issue. When it comes to direct elections, both Democrats and Republicans are in favor of that.
Yeah, and again, we have the most backward system now that allows us to, a very elite, non-transparent system where basically an entire branch of our government is being run by a very select few. We really need to make that more transparent and open for the people of Kansas to have their voices heard. Better representation.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had several votes over the years. Back in 2013 was my first vote on that. I certainly wanted direct elections back then. We didn't even come close to passing the federal model. So finally, I'm going to get an opportunity to vote for direct elections, and you can bank I'll be voting on it.
Well, Dan, I appreciate you again. Session begins tomorrow. What time does I know they stream it, thanks to a bill that my buddy and I passed a few years ago. What time does session begin in the morning?
You kind of co-opted that from another person.
I did.
You took it away from them. Yeah, we start at 2 o'clock tomorrow. That's when the swearing-in happens. You know, it'll be about an hour and a half for us to get through all the swearing-in. And then, you know, you got all the pomp and circumstance of the first day. It's a fun day. Then on Tuesday, we start to work.
Well, and if folks want to follow you, again, I mentioned it early in the interview, the Majority Record is your newsletter. Very informative. Comes out weekly. What's the best way for them to sign up for that?
Best way is go to Dan Hawkins, Kansas, and Kansas is spelled out, so danhawkinskansas.com.
All right. Well, Dan, I appreciate you as always. We'll take a quick break. I want to hear from you. The studio lines are open. What are you hoping to see the legislature accomplish next session? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. if you're interested in making your voice heard today, getting involved in campaigns, helping folks to find a way to make themselves, make their voices heard, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Also, a reminder that it's that time of year again. Sponsorships for the John Whitmer Show are now available. For more information, you can email Tony at knssradio.com. And don't forget, this Thursday, January 16th at 6:30 is the next meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. It starts at the meeting starts at 6:30 for the meet and greet, and then the meeting itself starts at 7. It's the Sedgwick County monthly meeting at the Wichita Area Builders Association. Also, a special, this is kind of a, you know, a little bit of, you know, I can kind of give you a tease here. The Sedgwick County Republican Party and Congressman Estes are putting together an inauguration watch party at Boulevard Theaters in Old Town on Monday, January 20th. More details and RSV information is to come, but the Sedgwick County Republican Party and Congressman Estes will have a watch party for the Trump inauguration coming up on the 20th, so look for more information on that. One of the benefits of being here in Topeka is I've got a whole bunch of legislators who keep popping in order to say hello, and with us right now is Representative Pat Proctor, representative from Leavenworth, right, Fort Leavenworth. Pat, nice to see you again. Happy New Year.
Thank you, and thanks for having me back again, John.
You're chairman of elections, right, House Elections Committee. I served on elections when I was a freshman. One of the things, and, you know, people think, oh, it's a boring committee, but it really isn't. You guys deal with a lot of important stuff. One of the reasons we no longer have the spring elections, we moved them to the fall. We did that when I was a freshman. You got any cool elections bills that you're working on this year?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really become a hot topic ever since the 2020 election.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've been hearing over and over again as the chair of the elections committee is people are concerned about non-citizens voting.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, our southern border's been a runway for anybody who wants to come across the border for 4 years. And we've got a lot of folks in our country. We have no idea who's here. And, you know, As I started digging into this issue, I discovered that there's actually nothing in statute or in our Constitution that prevents a non-citizen from voting in our elections. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to work on a constitutional amendment that folks will be able to vote on next year to make it clear that only U.S. citizens are voting in elections.
How is it? I guess I'm flummoxed by that.
I was dumbfounded. You know, I mean, when you think back, our founders probably thought it was ludicrous that anybody would.
Right. Citizen only.
That would ever allow a non-citizen to vote. And so the way they wrote our Constitution is that you couldn't prevent a U.S. citizen who's 18, who's resident of Kansas from voting. Nobody ever thought to say, and by the way, only a U.S. citizen can vote. And so we need to add that to our Constitution, because we're also going to be working on some measures to give election officers and the Secretary of State tools to find non-citizens on our voter rolls, and we don't want them immediately struck down by our liberal Kansas Supreme Court.
Right. Well, we need, and then, of course, they could purge any that aren't, right?
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of folks probably saw what Virginia was doing, where
right.
They worked with their DMV and they found 6,000 people that were on the voter rolls that were non-citizens. We don't have any formal mechanism like that. And so anybody who tells you that non-citizens aren't voting in Kansas is lying to you, because the truth is we have no idea if they are, because we're not really looking. And so in addition to the constitutional amendment, we're also going to be working on some mechanisms to help find these folks and purge them from our voter rolls.
We're talking with Representative Pat Penn, who chairs Proctor, excuse me. Two Pats, two representatives, two Representative Pat Proctor from Fort Leavenworth. Let me ask you, Pat, you chair the Elections Committee. I'm sure you saw recently the Secretary of State, Scott Schwab. I served with Schwabie. He announced that he's running for governor. In his announcement, he said that he felt that elections were secure in Kansas. By and large, I would agree with it. Do you agree with him? Do you think the elections are secure in Kansas?
You know,
When I'm not in the legislature, I actually teach in your neck of the woods at Wichita State in the Homeland Security program. And one of the first principles of Homeland Security is you don't wait until a vulnerability has been exploited.
Good point. Yes, yes.
And, you know, we have vulnerabilities in our system. And so there's still a lot of work to do. You know, this 3-day grace period where we just keep taking ballots.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, election day should be on election day, and then you're done. If it doesn't come in by close of balloting, then you're done. They don't count.
Again, and, you know, Secretary of State Scott Schwab, he found that in the primary election, 2% of our mail-in ballots don't get counted because they don't have a postmark because they came in after the 3-day grace period. If we do away with the grace period, you don't have to have a postmark. And so that's one thing we got to take a look at. We got to take a look at drop boxes, and you know,
that's I agree,
a perpetual issue. And so there's just because it hasn't been exploited yet, you don't wait until the bomb goes off before you fix the vulnerability that allowed it to get on the plane.
Well, since we brought it up, the Secretary of State announced that he's running for governor, which then, of course, means that the position of Secretary of State will be vacant. Because he can't run for one, assuming he, you know, wins. Or I mean, at some point, he's going to have to fish or cut bait. So assuming Scotty runs for governor, that means that he won't be running for Secretary of State. I've heard your name come up as a potential candidate for Secretary of State. Care to make an announcement?
You know, I've been getting that question a lot.
I'll bet.
You know, I'm very passionate about elections, and I'm, you know, very passionate about safeguarding our liberty by securing our elections. But we got a lot of important work to do this session, and I want people voting on the merits of the bill, not on whether they want me to be Secretary of State. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm exploring it, but I'm not going to make any announcements before the end of the session.
Spoken like a true politician. If folks are interested, if they want to connect with you, if they want to follow you in case they might see something, what's the best way for them to find you and get information about you, Pat?
Yeah, so I have a really, really robust newsletter that I put out every month, and you can sign up for it by going to patproctor4ks.com. There's a little sign-up button. Just click on it, and you can get on my newsletter and follow all the things I'm working on.
Pat, I appreciate you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, Jenny Beth Martin will join us to talk about the Lake and Riley Act. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by the Eck Agency. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.